But Athens, the city that had secured the victory at the Eurymedon, appeared to shrink from a sense of her own achievement, as though she couldn't bear to abandon a struggle that had served for 30 long years to define her. So that Persia, in the prayers offered up by the assembly, continued to be named as the national enemy. So too, that the Athenians, having run the Persians out of the Aegean but still addicted to making war on them, voted to hunt them down in foreign fields. In 460 BC, a huge armada was dispatched to Cyprus and Egypt. 6 years of fighting later, it had been comprehensively wiped out. The Athenians, in a panic that the barbarians might now come sweeping back into the Aegean, hurriedly removed the headquarters of the League from Delos to their own city. Even when the Persians failed to materialize in Greek waters, the treasury remained on the Acropolis. Naturally, just as they had always done, the Athenians required that subscriptions to the League be paid in full. Liberty, as they pointed out, did not come cheap. But many of the increasingly disgruntled allies began to mutter that Athenian-sponsored freedom was proving a good deal more expensive than slavery to the King of Kings had ever been. That a Greek pledged to the overthrow of Persian despotism might himself start to ape the manners of a Persian was not, in the decades that followed the great invasion, a wholly novel paradox. Pausanias, for instance, giddy with conceit, had become a notorious enthusiast for barbarian chic. His countrymen, appalled to see a general of the Spartan people swanning around on campaign sporting the trousers of a satrap, had grown increasingly suspicious of their erstwhile hero. A mere decade after Plataea, the ephors accused him of plotting to overthrow the state. Pausanias, taking sanctuary inside the bronze-walled temple on the Spartan Acropolis, was walled up there to starve. Only at the very last moment was his emaciated body hauled out, so that his death would not pollute the shrine. The man who had laughed at the wealth of the great king's table, only himself to develop a gluttonous taste for Persian haute cuisine, duly expired of hunger. Nemesis, as ever, had proved herself both merciless and witty. And just to emphasize that hubris might prove a failing of Greeks as well as of barbarian kings, she had dragged down, in the weeks that followed Pausanias's wretched end, a hero greater even than the regent. Themistocles, hated ever since Salamis for having been so persistently and spectacularly right, had already, by 470 BC, been ostracized by his resentful fellow citizens. Now implicated in Pausanias's treachery, he'd fled Greece altogether. After wanderings and adventures worthy of Odysseus, he'd finally ended up in Susa, where Xerxes' son, the new great king, had exulted in the capture of his father's most formidable enemy. The subtle serpent of Greece, now that he was defanged, had proved a great favourite of his new master, and all the brilliant qualities of his intellect, once so fatal to Persian ambitions, had been put to the great king's service. Dispatched to the western front, Themistocles had settled just inland from Miletus, where he had issued coins and run an army, just like any satrap. He passed his final days advising the court in Sardis on how best to resist the encroachments of his own countrymen. And so it was, as a royal servitor and as a traitor, that Themistocles, in 459 BC, finally breathed his last. An unsettling precedent, that the saviour of Greece should have ended up the enemy of liberty. Even in exile, it seemed to many, Themistocles continued to serve as a model to his city. For increasingly, throughout the 450s BC, cities freed from barbarian rule found their sense of gratitude towards Athens darkening into envy, suspicion, and dread. They could see little difference between the tribute that they had once paid to Susa and the subscription that they were now obliged to send to the Acropolis. Already in the 460s BC, cities that had attempted to secede from the League had found themselves being visited by the Athenian fleet. So too, in the following decade, had cities not even in the alliance,